Thank you so much. Bless the Lord for the United States of America. Bless the Lord for those who fought bravely, those who we personally might never know, but who gave their lives so that we can have freedom in this country. I will never forget this year's Memorial Day. The depth, which I'm going to read for you in a section. It's a letter that was addressed to me and my family this week that we received. It says in brief, "Welcome to the United States of America. Thank you. This is to notify you that your application for permanent residence has been approved. And it is with great pleasure that we welcome you to permanent resident status in the United States of America. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I am so humbled to stand here in front of you guys this morning. Me, together with my beautiful wife, Diane, my three kids, Joshua, Kiara, and little Miss Robin, together with my folks-in-law, to share this moment with you guys as a church. Let me say this, that for us as a family, we needed the miracle of a church to appoint me to be able to remain in this beautiful, blessed country. As this church needed a miracle of someone to lead worship, someone to take the congregation and unite us in heart and focus our attention on where it truly is important. Can you see that through all the trials and all the tribulations of what we've gone through as a family, we walked the streets of the Woodlands when you needed your miracle. But only at the right appointed time, God says, now's the time for the church to receive her miracle and for the Eustace family to receive it. Isn't that just remarkable? Isn't that the God that we serve? You see, so often we are called to go and make disciples, to go out and reach a people that are broken. And so often we have to do it in the strictest of adversities. You might face the most amount of hurdles that you've ever faced in your life. Do you know that, not a lot of you know this, but even when our R visa was approved, they sent us back to South Africa. They said to us, well, we've approved you, but you've got to go and get your visa at the point of origin, which was South Africa. We went there, and we didn't understand it. I took this all the way to Kevin Brady's office, and I said to him, listen, how is this possible that we've done everything right? How is this possible that we've ticked every single box? Yet they're telling us to go back. He says, well, let me take it one step higher. He went to the chief of USCIS, and they said, no, they've got to go back. We went back for 11 weeks. We didn't know whether I was going to be the one that locked the door on my house in Alden Bridge, if I was going to be the one to open that door again for my family. I didn't know that. When we came to the Consular General in that specific trip, I prayed for one thing, we huddled around at the American consular service in Johannesburg. And we huddled as a family and we prayed. And I said, Lord, thank you that you've called us to be who we are. Thank you that we believe you've brought us to the Woodlands, Texas. We believe that you brought us to a beautiful church, the Woodlands Bible Church. And you've called us to be effective, to lead people into closer fellowship with you. But Lord God, if it's your will, please send us back. But this morning we pray for two things. We pray for favor for your children, and we pray for confusion for the enemy, because we know that, and please understand, the people that we were seeing, they're not the enemy, but we know that we face an adversary, the devil. He is evil, and he's trying to thwart every single thing that we do for God's kingdom. Do you agree with me? And he knows that. He knows the calling that you've got on your life. He knows the calling that I've got on my life, and he's doing everything he can to stop it. He's trying every conceivable lie that he can to stop that. Therefore, we prayed, favor for your children, confusion for the enemy. We were supposed to see four people. And I've never shared this. I wanted to share this the moment we get our permanent residency, so bear with me. But the moment we came there and I opened up my file and they said, welcome, thank you so much, give us your file. The moment they touched the file, there was confusion on their faces. I could see it with my family there. I could see it. And they said, I don't understand. Explain to me why you are here. This doesn't make sense. And I explained, well, we were here on an L visa and it was approved for an R visa. Your country, we're law-abiding citizens and we want to do the right thing. So here we are, we're presenting ourselves as you guys said we should. And they said, well, this doesn't just make sense to me. Well, I guess you're fine. And they shut the folder and we went on to the next station. Four stations every time that agent hand touched that file, confusion set in. I could see it on their face. Please explain to me. I don't understand this. Right in front of our very eyes, guys, we saw favor for God's children and we saw confusion over the enemy. We lived it. And we got out and we were approved without prejudice and we came back and we applied for our green card and praise the Lord. Here we are today. And we stood outside. Amen. We stood outside that consular service and we huddled as a family and we burst out in tears. And everybody walking by said, oh, those poor family, they were just denied. But meanwhile, we were just so overjoyed because of what God has done for us. You see, it doesn't matter what you're facing in this life, whether it's sickness, whether it's disease, whether it's loss, whether it's confusion, whether it's trials, whether it's temptation. Romans 8 speaks about it. It says, for God will cause all of those things to work for the good for those that love him and are called according to his purposes. That doesn't mean that it will always go with moonshine and roses. It just means that God is there with you. By the power of his Holy Spirit, he is there with you. He says his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. He says, John 14, I will never leave you as orphans, but I will send one that will be your helper, your counselor, your guide. Oh man, he left us the precious Holy Spirit. Bless the Lord for this testimony because it gives glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So this morning, I wanted to aptly speak about what does it mean to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. I want you to open your Bibles with me. And we're going to read out of John 1. And we're going to pick up from verse 35. Now, what we are dealing with in backdrop is we're dealing with John the Baptist. This is he comes from a Jewish priestly lineage. this guy was totally segregated for the purposes that God has got on his life. He was there, the first prophet, after 400 years. And even his existence was prophesied in Isaiah 40. His birth was miraculous. Zechariah and his mom Elizabeth, they were already on in years. So much so that when Zechariah was chosen to offer sacrifices in the temple, an angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah and he said to him, "Buddy, I'm going to bless you with a son." David paraphrased, "I'm going to bless you with a son, and this guy is going to turn many people towards God. He's going to preach a word of redemption. He's going to preach a word of repentance. He's going to be separated for the purposes of God in his life, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit." So much so was his incredibility or his incredulous, his unbelief, that the angel said to him, "You're not going to speak until the time that your son is born." He didn't speak. My question to you, just in the backdrop of that, make sure that you don't doubt God. You know, Hebrews 11:6 says, it says it's impossible to please God without faith. And if you read the whole of Hebrews 11, you'd see that all of the ancients were commended for their faith. But just make sure that if you're trusting the Lord for something, do not thwart it with your unbelief. Do not laugh at the things that you believe God has called you for. You don't know the great things that God has still got prepared for you. The amount of people that you are still going to lead to Jesus Christ. You see, because that is what a true follower does. Anyway, John, he ate locusts. It was part of his custom. I'm not sure. Some say it was because he adhered to a strict diet of segregation. Some said that he wanted to even separate himself further to deny him good food. So I'm not sure. I haven't gone into that richer study, but those two seem to be the understanding. He was also related to Jesus because Mary and Elizabeth, they were related. But anyway, this is the guy that is truly the yellow stop sign. Remember we spoke about a yellow stop sign church, right? Hands up if you remember yellow stop sign church. Okay, for the sake of just reminding everybody, if you drive from here to your home or from here to Florida, how many stop signs are there? Numerous amounts, okay? All of them look exactly the same. All of them are red. All of them got white stop letters in. But imagine one was luminous pink with yellow luminous stop letters. Would you remember it? Why? Because it's different. It's unique. You would remember exactly where that stop sign is. That's what I'm saying. As a church, we're called to be a yellow stop sign church. What does that mean? That means that we want to be a church that is unlike another church in our area. What are the things that make us yellow stop sign churches? We've got a profound love for God's word. We believe that God's word is final. We believe that the church is an institution, but it doesn't surpass, or any of the organizations within the church doesn't surpass the word of God. Do you agree with me? That is what we believe. We are a church that is striving to honor God with our lives, and we want to walk a lifestyle of holiness, of sanctification. We do realize that everything that we need for a lifestyle of holiness and righteousness is given in God's word, but we need each other in community. This is a church that loves each other. Then we're a church that love with all of our hearts to worship God, because the Bible says that for the Lord is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So therefore, this is a church, for as long as I'm part of this church, I believe I'll drive this. This will be a church that loves to worship God, that is contrite in heart before God, that is humble in attitude before God, that realizes that he is God and I am not. You see, that is a yellow stop sign church. Now this guy, He had camel's hair. He ate wild locusts, wild honey. This is a wild yellow stop sign prophet, especially after 400 years of silence after the prophet Malachi. Can you see that this guy stands out? This guy's message is a message that says the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Fix your life. You brood of vipers, you sinners, because God is a holy God. You see, that's what the prophet did. The prophet would bring correction. And John, do you know the instant when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that when Mary came and visited Elizabeth, John's mother, that the baby inside of Elizabeth leapt for joy and was filled with the Spirit. When he heard, when he was in the presence of Jesus. You see, the moment that Jesus enters into the room, something different happens. And if Jesus has entered your life as a follower of Jesus Christ, what makes you different? And R.G. Lee, he was a pastor in the Baptist convention. He said the following. He said, "This morning, what have you done that makes you different as a believer than to everybody else? What have you done and what are you doing that makes you different as a believer than everybody else that don't know Jesus Christ?" That is profound, because so often we would like to judge ourselves by our intentions. "Oh, but I didn't intend to say that. I didn't intend to do that. It was never my intention for it to have gone that far." But others judge us on what they get from us, on our actions, on our words. My question, therefore, again, is what makes you different, and what have you done today that's different to all of the unbelievers in your life? Can you recognize that we are called to be different? There was a golfer, Payne Stewart. Golfers, you remember Payne Stewart? All right. Amazing golfer. In the prime of his life, boarded a plane. Plane went down. I think he passed at the age of 45, 46. But in the last competitions or championships that he won, he sported a bracelet that was WWJD. How many of you guys are familiar with the WWJD movement? All right, cool. What would Jesus do? And he was the first to have brought a little bit of attention to that, to the nation, because here was a guy that was at the pinnacle of his career, yet he was wearing a WWJD bracelet. You see, he got it. He got that he was separated. He got that he was changed from the inside out, and he needed to be different. He needed to be a yellow stop sign when all the other golfers might have been red, normal, irregular stop signs. But he has brought us that difference as well. So how do I look differently? How do I sound differently? Now let's read the word of the Lord. That is a backdrop. So the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," this means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he said, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John, and you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. So number one, I believe a true follower of Jesus Christ hears the word of the Lord, takes in the word of the Lord. Now we know in Isaiah 40 verse 8, that is the last phrase where John's prophecy of John was given. It says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. We know that the word of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. But here, John had his disciples, and they were spending time with him. Now, what is a disciple? It comes from the Greek, mathetas, and it means a follower, someone who ardently studies and listens to or sits under the curatorship or the instruction of a teacher. So these guys sat under the teaching of John. It doesn't matter what you listen to, but in this instance, when we look at these guys, they were listening to a prophet. It doesn't matter. It does matter what you listen to. In this instance, these guys listened to the prophet John, and what he was saying was quickened by the Holy Spirit, and it was a testimony to them that it was true. All right? So they were listening to this guy. He was not just whack, I'm sure. A lot of people said that about John. But what made them different is the Holy Spirit started doing the work in them so that what they were listening to was true. Can you see the difference? So a lot of people listen to a lot of things. A lot of people even listen to commentaries on the Word of God. Other people read beautiful stories. And those things are great. But the Word of the Lord lasts forever. The word of the Lord, Hebrews 4:12, is that which is sharper than any two-edged sword. Can you see that that judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart? So a true believer, a true disciple of Jesus Christ, is one that hears the word, that takes time to listen to the word. Encouragement to me, as much as to you as well, how much do we read the word of the Lord? Is it 5 minutes a day? Is it 10 minutes a day? Do you study it? Do you reference it? Do you check out some different translations? How much of God's word do you read? Then secondly, how much of God's word do you memorize? You know, so often I think, if my Bible had to be taken away from me right now, how much of God's word do I have vested in my heart? How much of my head knowledge has become heart knowledge? How much of that which I've read, understood, analyzed, have I taken to heart and let that permeate every single thing in my life? I dare say not enough. Therefore, let us all be lifelong learners. Let us study God's word. When we do find the promises, like I preached before, I said, this is a love letter from the Lord to us. Read it. Take it to heart. Understand that the moment that you read it, that there is a love from the Father to you. And then what do? You respond alike. And you pray. And you speak and have communion with God. But a true disciple doesn't only hear it, but they also heed it. So look, here's what happened. He says, the next day, John was there again with his two disciples. So these guys were listening to John. And when he saw Jesus, who's that? John, passing by, said, look, the Lamb of God. Someone that is a true disciple, what does he do? He points people straight to Jesus. Think about it. How are you pointing people straight to Jesus? And then, when the two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. They didn't only hear what John was saying. You see, because something very significant is happening here. You've got to understand that at the moment that John said, look, there he is, there is the Messiah. The moment that he said that, boom, that became alive and that became biblical because it became the word of the Lord through the prophet. And they heard that. And the moment they heard that, the Holy Spirit moved in them. testifies that this is the truth, which is what we need about God's word. We read God's word, and what does the Holy Spirit do? He helps us understand the reality. And then we get a reality and a revelation of who God is, and then it humbles us, and we then worship God. Can you see the importance and the relevance of God's word in us? So a true disciple doesn't only hear it, but they heed it. James 1:22. Have we got that? He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. All right, that is wisdom right there. Do not only hear the word, but do what it says. A true disciple takes to heart that which God says in his word and actually does it. Now, we know it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. But there are certain things in my life that are continuously in need of change. Continuously in need of restoration. Continuously in need of sanctification. This is a path that I must walk. Am I perfect? No. None of us are perfect, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 says that. So a true disciple is one who loves to hear and heed the word of the Lord. Number two, a true disciple has got a lasting commitment to Jesus Christ. It's got a lasting commitment to Jesus Christ. You see, these guys, they said, where are you going? And he said, follow me. And they followed him. And they followed him right from that day onwards. It speaks about a lasting commitment. I'd like to read Luke 18, verses 18 to 25. And it says, Jesus saying, he's speaking about all the things of heaven. And then a certain young ruler comes to him and he says, a certain ruler asks him, he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother. He says, but all these things I've kept since I was a boy, he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, then come and follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, please don't misunderstand. Jesus is not speaking about having rich and not going to heaven. Jesus is saying that when we have got our hope in wealth rather than our trust in God, that is a problem because you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve Mammon, which is the god of money, and God. Therefore, you must choose who will you serve. And by saying who will you serve, it means which of those two are the highest priority in your life. You see, your lasting commitment to Christ is only as strong as the commitment that you've got to your richest treasure in your heart. You see, because everything that you think about, so you are. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. My question is this morning, what do you treasure? Think about it. I treasure my family. I treasure this church. I treasure you guys as a community. I treasure the place where I live. I treasure this country. But nothing that I desire or treasure compares to my love for God. I've got a very wise friend that's got a 5G retirement plan. And his 5G retirement plan is, first G, God. Second G, girl. Third G, grandkids. Fourth G, golf. Fifth G, guitar. You see that in my mind, when I speak to this gentleman, there's no doubt in me about the hierarchy of importance of God in his life. It doesn't mean we don't love our families any less. God has given us enough family love, enough love and capacity for family. He's given us enough love for our communities, our churches, our body. But just make sure that there's nothing in your heart, nothing that you treasure that is that is more important than the love for God in your life. You see, once we get that into perspective, everything else kind of falls into place. But a true disciple of Jesus Christ, a true follower of Jesus Christ, a true student doesn't only hear the word, he doesn't only act on the word, but he's got a resilient commitment towards the things that God has called him or her to do. It takes courage. It takes discipline. It takes resilience. You know, so often we say, my get up and go, got up and went. You know, but my point being, so often we are faced with these instances. So often we are faced with, you've got to go back to South Africa to make this happen. Does that at that stage mean, God, my whole world seems like it's falling apart? But maybe this is just God orchestrating everything behind the scenes so that everything falls into place. And God is testing our faith because it's impossible to please God without faith. He says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. If you go through the storms, I will be with you. See, maybe it's just God testing our faith so that how he can in the end get the glory. There was Job, exactly the same thing. Everything was falling apart in his life. But yet, he had the commitment. Everything was taken away. What was his words? His words was the following. He says, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. And then, blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, it takes a resilience. It takes someone that says, I've made a commitment. The commitment that I made in front of many people and in front of the Lord when I chose Diane to be my wife, and when she boldly declared, she says, I will follow this man and I will get married to this hunk of a gospel superstar. There's been many opportunities for us to kind of like, I don't like that I said that, but there is a deep-rooted commitment. Can you get what I'm saying? Because we made a vow in front of people, in front of the Lord. But our commitment to the Lord Jesus, oh man, that is a life and death thing. There's nothing more important than your relationship with Jesus Christ. This morning, if you walked into this church and you're telling me, David, I hear you and it's all good and well, but I've never reached that point of a true commitment of giving everything over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Let me be the guy to remind you that it's not too late. For as long as you've got breath in your lungs this morning, it is not too late. And if you have made a decision to follow God and something inside of you is stirring, saying, man, I just don't love God's word as much. Don't think I'm just preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself as well. Remember what I said, I want to be a lifelong learner up until the end that I blow out my last breath in this beautiful, blessed country, unless the Lord comes and tells me and take us all home on the clouds, and what a day that would be, right? But my point being, until that day, if that day doesn't come and I breathe my last, never will there be a day, and that is my commitment to the Lord, never will there be a day that I will move away from what God has done for me, what I've seen with my own eyes, God has done for me and my family, and the commitment that I've got for Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, the hero of my story. And I will encourage you to do the same. So number two, a true believer has got a lasting commitment to Christ. My question is, what is holding your heart this morning? What treasure are you protecting so much that you don't want to release that all to follow Jesus with all of your heart. Number three, I truly believe that once he has started the work in you, he will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means that now we are in relationship. So number three, there is a true longing to know Jesus Christ. You see, these disciples, what they wanted to do is they wanted to spend time with Jesus. They wanted to know that they've understood that he is the true Messiah. They wanted to be with him. So they said, where are you staying? See, Jesus, here's the interesting thing. Jesus just said, come, he replied, and you will see. He didn't tell him where he's going. He said, come, be with me. He recognized that these guys had a deep desire inside of them to know him. Come with me. This morning, the Lord Jesus, he is telling you, come with me. You see, he knew when they asked that question that he was addressing a deep desire in them. They desire to know him more. See, because once they understood, they've been told about John the Baptist so much time. So many times they've told him, listen, the Messiah's coming, the Messiah's coming. And then when he said, there he is, oh man, something must have happened in there. All that desire to get to know Jesus Christ. There's a deep longing to know Jesus Christ. All right, number four. And here is the challenge. A true disciple of Jesus Christ, not one that just hears the word, but he also heeds to that word. It is one that's got a strong commitment. It is one that wants to spend and know God more, deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. But it is also one that says, can I take you to the source? Can I take you to the Messiah? It is one that stands as a testimony to say, we have found him. We have found the Messiah. This morning, how are you leading people to Jesus? See, a true disciple looks differently. A true disciple sounds differently. A true disciple works differently. We operate on a different system of beliefs. How is who you are different to those around you? And are you truly taking people to an intimate place of knowing Jesus Christ? You see, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said, go into all the world. I literally have gone into all the world. I have not seen China. I've got no desire right now. Please, Lord, don't send me to China. I've got no desire to go to China, but I have not been to Australia or to China. They're just too far to fly, man. Those are long flights. But Jesus said, go into all the world and do what? Make converts? Make converts or make disciples? Make disciples. What does that mean? That means he has called you to look different. He's called you to sound different. He's called you to be the salt of the earth. He's called you to be the light to a dark world, to illuminate where there are people that have lost their way. There's a great value that Jesus places on the one sheep that has gone astray. Maybe, just maybe, you are that person. To say something, to give someone just a little bit of hope, a little bit of guidance, a little bit of clarity, a little bit of tender care. Maybe they are so desperate for that element, and you might be the guy to carry that towards them. That is what a true disciple is. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So my question as we wrap this up. Personally, I know of what God has done for me. I know what God has done for my family. I know what God is doing in this church. Can you recognize that God is doing something in this church? I can. I can see the stability. I can see the leadership. I can see a people with their hearts that are hungry for more of God. But it cannot be just us four and no more. We've got to take that which God has done in us, and we've got to take it out. That which God is doing in this church, we've got to take it out. See, because if people don't know, how will they know if we don't tell them? You might be the only Bible that anybody reads without reading the Bible. So my question is who you are shouting louder than the words that you're trying to say? Is who you are shouting louder than the words that you're trying to say? So, my question is, what has God done for you? And is that worthwhile carrying out? How do you act? Is that worthwhile of change, maybe retrospective change? Oh, Lord, you know, sometimes the tongue slips, eh? When the spanner slips and the thumb gets struck, maybe that's something that that you've not given 100% over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Maybe there's someone that you've prayed for such a long time. Someone that has maybe not known Christ in their lives. Maybe that is someone that you need to, with revigoration, bring to the throne room of the Lord and ask for wisdom. Lord, how can I share who you are to them? See, that's a true follower of Jesus Christ. Remember what I said. John, even though he wasn't a disciple of Jesus, and there's nothing in the Bible that says that, he was a prophet. He was the forerunner proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. But still, he understood the importance of saying, there he is. How are you pointing people to Jesus Christ in your day-to-day walk? What do you sound like? So if you walk like a duck, talk like a duck, act like a duck, chances are you are a duck. So I want to commend you. This week, let's talk like Christians. Let's walk like Christians. Let's act like Christians. Do you know why it's so relevant? It's because every time in closure, if we read that last part of the scripture, when we encounter Jesus, Jesus gives us a new name. Have you ever considered that? Look at what it says. Jesus looked at him and says, you are Simon, son of John, but from now on, you will be called Cephas, which is Peter. And then later on, we understand when Simon Peter was questioned, he says, well, who do the people say I am? He says, well, some says you're a prophet. He says, but who do you say I am? He says, I say that you are the son of the living God. You are the Messiah. He says, blessed are you, Simon Peter, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. So, my question is, don't believe the things that people say about you. Believe who Jesus says you are. Who are you? You are more than a conqueror. You're a child of the living God. You're a co-heir with Christ. You've been bought with a price. That's who you are. Let's go and make a difference in the world outside. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for what you have done in our lives. Thank you for who you are. Lord, not for a second do we want to miss the opportunity to recognize your lordship and humble ourselves. Lord, we know that you give grace to the humble. And Lord, we know that when we humble us and humble ourselves before your lordship, you will in due course, you will raise us up. And Father, we know that when you do raise us up for your purposes, in the end, you will get the glory. Lord Jesus, this is our desire in this life, that you will get the glory for whatever we say, whatever we do, and whatever is caused to happen in our lives, Father, we are careful to give you the glory and the honor. Lord, we love you and we magnify your name. Lord, my heart and my prayer is that you will instill in each of us today here within the sound of my voice an excitement for following you an excitement for reading your word, an excitement for us and an obedience to be able to hearken to that word, to heed that word, to act upon that word. Father, this morning we want to declare once again our commitment and our resilience to following you. Lord, we want to dedicate ourselves to knowing you more. And Lord, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you will help us to lead people to you. Lord, use us. Make use of us, Lord. As Paul writes in Romans 9, Lord, we are the clay, you are the potter. Form in us vessels of your choosing. We pray this for the Woodlands Bible Church this morning. And I pray that each of us will be encouraged to take it out and to be the change that this world needs so desperately. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen.